The sixth chapter of Hilchos Teshuva continues the theme of Bechira, a free choice. In chapter 5, the Rambam emphatically established that free will is the very pillar and foundation of all of Yiddishkeit, all of Torah mitzvahs. If we genuinely lacked free will, our entire concept of what it means to be human would crumble into dust. All of the laws would be pointless, as the Rambam said. What would be the point of giving somebody a commandment, saying this is good, this is bad, this is a mitzvah, this is a prohibition, when everything, all of your behaviors are predetermined? The whole concept of reward and punishment that fills the Tanakh would of course be cruel. The tzaddik is not a tzaddik, the rasha is not a rasha. Everybody is just responding to a program that is embedded in them before they are born. Now, we tend to blame other people. It is part of our nature, and maybe part of our trauma, to consider ourselves victims. I am not responsible for my life. I am not free to choose. This is what the Rambam negates, that the foundation of Yiddishkeit is that every single human being, every single individual has the freedom to become the author of their own biography. Despite the powerful influences of nature and nurture, despite the fact that each of us has different dispositions and characteristics and tendencies, and therefore maybe my struggle may be stronger in one area while your struggle may be in one area stronger than my struggle. Nonetheless, the common denominator for us is that each and every one of us is empowered to ultimately assess our lives, assess the pros and cons, identify, analyze, scrutinize what is good, what is bad, what is moral, what is immoral, what is constructive, what is destructive, what is positive, what is negative, and then make the choices by which we live. Chapter 6, the Rambam is going to address what seems to be many contradictions in the Tanakh that would seem to undermine this principle. He's also going to answer a few basic questions about this principle, which seems to be contradicted by some of the stories and the psukim in the Tanakh. Remember that the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam said in the introduction, was the second book of Torah. Mishnah Torah, meaning it was a book that complements Torah. It was a supplement to the Tanakh. He said, you read the Torah Shebiksav and then you read this Sefer. So somebody who's learning Rambam learned through Torah Shebiksav and therefore would be triggered and would be curious by many psukim that seem to contradict the principle of free choice. Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph. Psukim har b'yesh b'toyru b'divri nevi'im she'nidin k'soistrin ikar zeh. There are many verses in the Torah and in the words of the prophets which apparently contradict this principle. V'nichshalin b'hen roiv ha'adam. And most people error about this. And based on their understanding of the text of the Tanakh, they actually entertain the thought that it is Hashem who decrees upon the person to do good or to do bad. And that the heart of a human being is not given over to him with the power to direct it to the path that he chooses. In other words, when they learn the Tanakh, they can easily error and reach the erroneous conclusion that freedom of choice is not a reality. We may think we have freedom, but it's not true. Ultimately, it's the divine creator who programmed everything and decreed everything. You have no choice. So the Rambam says, I am about to explain a fundamental principle in Yiddishkeit which will allow you to appreciate and understand the authentic meaning of all of these verses that would seem to undermine the principle of free choice. And the Rambam begins his explanation. When one human being or people of a country, of a society, sin, and the sinner has committed a sin, which he has done midaita, he has done with his full consciousness and with ritzoina, with his full desire and volition, as we explained earlier in chapter 5, that the human being has freedom of choice. And when a person commits a sin with that full power of freedom, which means he or she was not duped, they were not responding to a force that compelled them, they were not making a mistake and doing something inadvertently. But we're talking about somebody who sinned with full consciousness and full volition. Royuli paramimenu. Then it's appropriate to exact payment from him. V'akadosh Baruch Hu yodeya ha'echi para. The only one who knows how to exact payment from this person. It's interesting that Chazal and the Rambam, they often don't use the word punishment or retribution, which is oinish. They rather use the word yipara. Hashem exacts payment from the person. And it's a very, very profound message here, because payment is really not a punishment. Payment is really, I borrowed money from you and I have to pay you back. It's called a bal chayv. I owe you a debt, right? Or you have given me something, you have sold me your house, and I never paid you. I have to pay you for it. It's called a debt. It's not a punishment. Every soul borrowed and received all of its resources, the gift of life, our mind, our bodies, our hearts, our souls, everything we have, all of our physical, psychological, biological, spiritual resources. It's all from Hashem. And He gave it to us with a purpose, with a mission to bring light into the world. And I have to pay Him back. And sometimes I don't pay Him back. I'm in debt. I owe the world something. I owe history something. I owe all of the past and future generations something. So much was invested in me, and I have to pay it back. That's what Lihipora means. So Hashem knows how to exact payment from the person. How do we get the person to come back to his or her senses, to come back to his or her pristine self, to really know who they really are, to remove all the toxicity, all the layers, all the cover-ups, the pompousness, the falsehood, the addictions, the lies, the superficiality that I may live in and I may become stuck. How do we remove that so that the person can really become aware of who they are, what their responsibilities are, what their opportunities are, what their privileges are? So when a person sins and transgresses and has become misaligned from his or her true mission and power, so he says, only Hashem knows how to exact payment from this person. Yesh chait, there is a sin, shahadin noisin, that the justice of Hashem renders the following verdict, that the payment will be exacted from this person in this world, in the physical world, maybe begufoy, perhaps through physical challenges in his body, perhaps financial challenges, or perhaps challenges with his or her young children. And the Rambam says here in parentheses, where do children, why are you challenging a person through their children? The Rambam says, like in parentheses, the young children of a person, before they developed full intellectual maturity and have become independent, and they did not yet reach the age of mitzvahs, they are like an extension of the parents. And as the Rambam says, the Pasuk says, Kosov, the Pasuk says, in Dvarim Perik Chavdalit, Ish Becheta Yumas, children shall never die because of their parents, just like parents shall not die because of their children. Every man shall die because of his own sin. So we see, Ad Sheyi Asa Ish. This means, until you become a man. When you become a man, we could say you die for your own sins. When a child is small, he's not sinning. He's not responsible. He's not fully mature that we should hold him accountable for his sins or his mistakes. He's a child. He's under the tutelage and under the guidance and mentorship and hopefully love, compassion, and wisdom of Tati and Mami. So therefore, sometimes a person is tested and challenged through their young children. Now you may ask, it's still not fair. It doesn't make sense. Well, that's a very good question. The Rambam is not addressing that, but maybe one example of that, which doesn't really answer the question, is just giving it an example. You know, if a woman is pregnant and she's smoking and drinking or doing some other destructive things, it's going to affect the child. Sometimes it may affect the child severely. Generally, even after birth, the behavior of parents, as we all know, dramatically affects the children in a positive way or sometimes in a horrible way. Is it fear? I don't know about the word fear. The mysteries of creation and the mysteries of God in this world are often unfathomable to the human brain about the systems that Hashem creates. But we all understand that what we do as adults and as parents severely and positively affect our children, at least to some degree, and at least till some age, and some would say even later. But the point here is, the Rambam is saying that Hashem decides how to exact payment from a person, whether it's through physical means, whether it's financial means, sometimes it's through their children. When they're young, he says, because ish becheta yumas, a child, once he's older, it's about himself. He has to take responsibility for himself. But as a younger child, he's the extension of the parents. V'yesh chet is another type of sin, shahadin noisin shenifrayim emenu loylam haba. Hashem's justice dictates that this person, we should exact payment from him, not in this world, only in oylam haba. Oylam haba means afterlife, in the spiritual reality. This person will not experience any challenge in this world. And then there are those sins where they will exact payment from this person in this world and in the next world. When is this all said? When the person did not do tshuva. If a person did tshuva, then tshuva is like a shield that protects one from all penalty. And just as a person sins with his own volition and conscious choice, similarly, he also does tshuva with his own volition and his own conscious choice. It's interesting, in Halacha Aleph, when the Rambam was speaking about sins, he said, midaitai and then biritzayna. You do it with your das and then with your ratzin. When it comes to tshuva, he uses the same two expressions, but in the opposite order. Oysa tshuva biritzayna umidaitai. He says, just like you sin biritzayna umidaitai, you do tshuva biritzayna umidaitai. Why do you think he changes the order from Halacha Aleph to Halacha Beis? I would love to hear your feedback in the comment section on the yeshiva.net. What is the Rambam saying here? The Rambam is saying all these exactment of payments and punishments is without tshuva. Once a person does tshuva, everything changes because tshuva, as we learned before, has the power to forgive and cleanse for a person's mistakes and transgressions, even if they were done willingly and maliciously with full choice. But the Rambam adds in Halacha Beis, just as you sinned with your own volition and consciousness, you also do tshuva with your own volition and consciousness, obviously. Of course I do it with my own consciousness. The Rambam is saying nobody's forcing me to do tshuva, nobody's forcing me to sin. Perhaps what the Rambam is teaching us here is a very, very profound message. And that is, never ever think that you're stuck. Sometimes a person says, I sinned and I give up on myself. We surrender to depression, to sadness, to despair. Sometimes I look at myself and I say, I never chose this and therefore I can't unchoose it. I'm ultimately a victim of other circumstances. And that's what the Rambam is saying. Furthermore, sometimes the sin itself makes you believe that you're incapable of anything else. So the Rambam says, don't allow yourself to be deluded by these lies. You sinned with your volition, and you can do tshuva with your volition. Famous expression of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, if you believe that you can destroy, you have to believe also that you could rebuild. The Jew once came to the holy Rabbi Yisrael of Rizhin, and he said, Rebbe, how do I do tshuva? I need guidance. So the Rizhin looked at him and said, did you come here before you sinned and asked me, how do I sin? I need guidance. He said, no. The Rebbe said, you figured it out yourself, right? In the same way, you'll figure out yourself how to do tshuva. So some people don't understand the story. They think it was almost like dismissive and cynical. No, it was actually very empowering and very healing and very loving. What he was saying is, I can't tell you how to do tshuva. It's all about you. You're the one who figured out how to sin. In the same exact way, you'll figure out how to do tshuva. It's not two different realities. It's using the same freedom that you have inside of you. It's taking responsibility for your life. It's realizing that your sin was not random. It was not imposed on you. It was ultimately processes that you can take responsibility for. And therefore, you can blame yourself, not other people. You can say, I am accountable. The moment you'll figure out that your sin was volitional, you'll also figure out how to do tshuva. Because if your sin was volitional, so now your volition can direct you somewhere else. It can direct you towards tshuva. So I think the Rambam is saying, just like you sinned with your volition, with your das, that's how you do tshuva with your das. Meaning, the moment you realize that you sinned with your das, you're good. You're good. It means you're a free person. It means you're not a victim. It means I'm not just responding to forces above me or outside of me or so deep inside of me that I have no access to them and I have no control. Yes, there may exist forces, but the moment you realize that you were given the gift, you were given that divine gift to be able to look at the processes happening inside and therefore ultimately you're responsible for your sin, that means that you have a green light for tshuva. Halacha Gimel. Ve'efsher, the Rambam says, now I want to tell you something else. Sometimes a person commits such a grand, such a great sin, or sometimes numerous sins, many sins, that the true judge, and here he puts in the words Dayan Emes, which he didn't use before in Halacha Beis, or in Halacha Aleph, that the true judge, meaning Dayan Emes is the judge of truth, he puts it in here, the judge of truth renders a new type of verdict. And you know what the verdict is? That the way to exact retribution from this sinner for the sins that he has done with his consent and consciousness and will is to prevent from him tshuva. That's a very different type of punishment. This is not a punishment that challenges a person's health, chas v'shalom, or challenges a person's finances, or challenges a person's children, or maybe nothing in this world, only in the next world, where my soul has to endure various forms of spiritual therapy and cleansing to be able to extricate the toxicity, the trauma, the sin, the corruption, the dirt, the filth, and the soul can go back to its pristine purity. That was all halacha aleph. And for that, there's always tshuva. As the Rambam said, halacha beis, and just as you sinned volitionally, you could do tshuva volitionally. Halacha gimel says, the dayan ha'emes, the true judge. And why does he put in here the word dayan ha'emes? I want you to figure this out. I think the answer is pretty simple. Why? Because this is going to be a very serious punishment. The punishment for the sin that the person did willingly and freely is what? That he shouldn't be able to do tshuva. That itself becomes the punishment for the sin. Ve'in manichin lo yirshus lashuv mirishon. The judge of truth renders the following verdict, that he will not be given the permission, the authority, the power to be able to repent from his wickedness, k'dei sheyamos v'yoyvad b'chatoyim sh'asa, so that ultimately he would die and perish through in the sins that he has committed, whether that means physically or emotionally and spiritually, as I discussed at length in Peir Gimel with the Tzaddik and the Beinoni and the Rasha. But the Rambam says, Hashem decides after all of the grand sins that this person committed, as he says, it can be either a sin of extraordinary magnitude or numerous sins, quality or quantity. That's why he says both languages. The judge of truth, the only one who can judge things truthfully. Why can he judge things truthfully? Because he knows every person through and through and through and through. He knows where you were born. He knows your parents. He knows your DNA all the way back to Adam and Chava. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. He knows your struggles. He knows your neurons. He knows your neural pathways. He knows your brain. He knows your soul. He knows your environment. He knows your nature and nurture. He can be the true judge. Nobody else can be the true judge. Like the Rambam said in Peter Gimel, the only one who can reckon a person's life and weigh sins against merits is only a Kel Deis. Here he uses the word dayanamis because here he's talking about judgment, not reckoning, but the verdict. So sometimes his verdict is that this person has destroyed so many lives, has committed so many sins. What's the punishment? The punishment is that he can't do tshuva. That is the punishment. The fact that he can't do tshuva becomes the penalty for all of the sins that he did. This notion Hashem expresses through Yeshaya Hanavi in chapter 6. Hashmin leva am hazeh. Fatten the heart of this people. Va'aznav hachbet. Make his ears heavy. Ve'enav hasha. Eclipse his vision. Why? Pen yireh be'enav. I'm afraid he may see with his eyes. Uba'aznav yishma. And he may hear with his ears. Ulevava yavin. And he may perceive with his heart. V'shav and he will return. V'rafalai. And he will become healthy once again. In other words, sometimes Hashem says, this person is so sinful, this person has destroyed so much and so many. I want his vision to be eclipsed. I want him to become deaf to the music of reality. I want his heart to become fattened and plugged, because if not, he actually may seek healing and recovery. The Pasuk also says in Divrei Hayamim Beis Perek Lamed Vav, this describes some of the Jews during the last years of the first Beis HaMikdash, which was destroyed 586 BCE. This is the era of Tzidkiyahu, the last king of Yehuda, who was blinded by Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. And in that era, as Chazal tell us, there were some very, very heinous crimes that were committed by Jewish leaders and by lay Jews. So Hashem says, Vayiyu mal even b'malachi ha'likim. They have been mocking and scorning the messengers of Hashem. Uboizim dvarav, humiliating and scorning his words. Umetatim b'neviyav, mocking and laughing of his prophets. Adalois chamas Hashem ba'amay adlein marpe. To the point that Hashem's ire ascended in, among his nation, to the point where there is no healing. Now, these are types of psukim that somebody who reads the Tanakh says. Hashem says, I want you should fatten their heart. They should become deaf and blind so that they never heal. What do you mean? I thought it's bchira. Says the Rambam, Keloimar, now we'll understand. Chatu b'ritzoinam. They have sinned through their own will. V'hir b'lifshaya. And they have transgressed and corrupted their lives and other lives so abundantly. Achin ischayvu limnoyameh natshuva shiyam arpeh. that the punishment, the penalty that they deserve is that tshuva, which is the ultimate healing. Tshuva is all about healing and recovery. It's like a body that is dysfunctional, a body that is rattled with diseases or illnesses or infections or destructive viruses or bacteria, and you bring back the body to its natural, pristine state of balance and centeredness and good health. That's what tshuva is morally and spiritually, as I discussed in the first chapters of Hilchos Tshuva. That's why we see in the Tanakh, the term that's used for tshuva is healing. V'shav v'rafaloi, adlei marpe. It's simply about moral, spiritual health. But sometimes, Hashem says, I don't want them to be able to do tshuva. L'fichach kasa b'tayra. That's why it says in the Torah, where Parsha Shmois, Hashem tells Moshe, V'aniyah chazik es leif parai. I am going to harden the heart of Parai, and I will make sure that he does not consent to your pleas to let my people go. And he will say, no, 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 I will not let them go. I thought people have free choice. Here the Ribbono Shel Olam, it seems, deprived Parai from free choice. He promised Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, oh, don't worry about it. He's going to say no. How do I know? I'll make sure he says no. So why are you punishing him? Says the Rambam, Lefi Shechata Me'atzmei Tchila. Parai was no saint whose free choice was taken away. He sinned on his own initially. And he oppressed and tortured the Jewish people who were living in his country. The only crime that they had is that Jewish blood was flowing through their sinews and they were citizens of Egypt. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, in the beginning of Parsha Shmois, Pare turned to his nation. He said, Havan is chakmaloi v'chuli. Let us be shrewd and sly. Let us contrive ideas of how to eliminate the Jewish people. Why does the Rambam bring this pasuk? Because this pasuk is the opening of the story of exile. He was not forced yet. There was no Moshe Rabbeinu. There was no decree that his heart is going to become hard and obstinate. No. At this point, he is acting as a free human being who decides to oppress an innocent minority living in his land. Nasan hadin, and therefore justice warranted limnoya mimenu hatshuva, to prevent from him at some point the ability to repent, achen ifrayin mimenu, until retribution was exacted from him for all of his transgressions. Lefichach chizek HaKadosh Baruch Hu eslibay. Therefore, Hashem strengthened, hardened his heart that he shouldn't do tshuva. In other words, he sinned willingly with full bchira. At some point, what was the punishment for Parai? The punishment of Parai was that even if he sobers up one day and even if he wants to cleanse his sin, at this point it's too late. He can't do tshuva anymore. Why? Because of the gravity of his sins, the seriousness of his sins. Because this is a unique punishment. That's why the Rambam puts it in Halacha Gimel and he writes the words Dayan Ha'emes. Only Dayan Emes makes such a punishment. But Parai, who cemented Jewish children, and Parai, who had every male Jewish infant plunged into the Nile Delta, that beautiful Nile, if you ever went to the Nile, one of the longest rivers in the world, if not the longest, thousands and thousands of miles, crosses through 11 countries, you come to the Nile. By day, the Nile is so beautiful, and the Egyptians were sitting at the Nile, drinking their lattes and reading the Egyptian Times on the beach chairs with a little twig of beer, socializing and laughing with their sunglasses, playing volleyball or throwing frisbees and jogging at the beach. But on the bottom of the Nile was filled with who knows how many Jewish babies, how many Jewish corpses. Parai, who bathed in the blood of Jewish children. At some point, Hashem says, you know what the punishment of Parai is? The punishment is that he should not be able to do tshuva. I don't want Parai to wake up tomorrow morning and say, okay, God, I'm sorry, and let me go enjoy meatballs and spaghetti in paradise. The punishment of Parai was that he can never do tshuva. That itself became the punishment. If so, why did Hashem send a message to Parai through Moshe and tell him, send my people out, let my people go and do tshuva? It's interesting that the Rambam says that part of the message of Moshe to Parai was to do tshuva. It's a very fascinating words of the Rambam. In Chumash it says, Moshe told him, shalach esami, let my people go, send them out of your country. But the Rambam adds that when you study the context of the verses, you see that Hashem was telling Parai not just to do a technical act, he was telling him to do tshuva. And Hashem already predicted, and he promised Moshe, that Parai is not going to send them. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, at the end of Parshas Va'era, V'ata v'avadecha yadati v'chuli, ki terem terem b'pnei Hashem alakim. Moshe tells Parai, I already know that you and your servants will not fear God and listen to God. In other words, Moshe knew that he's not listening. So what's the point of going to somebody, pleading with him, asking him, begging him, going back, when you already know that the answer is going to be no, 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 no. God said he's going to say no. So why send them to Bahrain? Do what you have to do and let's move on. Plague after plague after plague. What's the point? And another pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Bo, V'ulam bavur zois v'chuli, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Pari in the name of Hashem, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Pari, Boyel Pari, tell Pari. I mean, come to Pari, the beginning of Parshas Bo. He says, come to Pari, and I want you to speak to him. Rashi says, I want you to warn him. I have hardened his heart in order to be able to cast all these wonders. And he says, over there, bavur zois, why did I let you survive? Why did I keep Karet? Why did I keep Pari intact, so that everybody should see the wonders that are going to be done in Egypt in order to liberate the Jewish people. But I don't understand. What's the point of all of this? Telling Pari that I want you to send them out, and I know that you're not going to listen. Why is this relevant? It's not going to help. The answer is, this was a message for all citizens of the world. When Hashem decides to prevent tshuva from a sinner, there's nothing that he will be able to do in order to achieve tshuva. Even if he's begged, and even if he receives a plague after a plague, and most normal human beings would break and would surrender, this person's stubbornness and tenaciousness simply knows no bounds. Elayamos Berisha, he will die in his wickedness. He will die in his stubbornness and in his relentless, tenacious addiction to destroying himself. She'asa b'tchila b'r Sinai. But remember, it's the wickedness that he began willingly. He emphasizes this. In other words, this did not happen in the beginning. After all of the sins that he has done, the rishas that he has done willingly, this is the ultimate punishment of Hashem. Says the Rambam, v'chein Sichon. A similar story happened with Sichon, who was the king of Cheshbon. His story described in Parshas Chukas. L'fi avoin is shahoyu loin is chayiv l'mani min atshuva. Because of the grave sins that he possessed, therefore he was held liable, and the liability was that Hashem prevented him from doing tshuva. Shenemar, the pasuk says in Parshas Dvarim, about Sichon, Melech Cheshbon, the king of Cheshbon from the tribe of the Amorites, ki hiksha Hashem alekechas ruchoi ve'imeitz es levavoi. Hashem hardened his spirit and made his heart very tight. Why? So that he would refuse, tenaciously refuse to allow the Jewish people to pass through his border when they asked him. And instead, he declared war. He came out with his whole nation, men, women, and children, to try to murder as many Jews as possible. So again, here, it seems like Hashem is the one who made him stubborn. So why are you punishing Sichon? The Rambam says, no, you only see the end of the story. This guy was irrational. His heart was completely hard. But you know why? It was because of the tremendous grave sins that he has committed earlier. Similar story happened with the Canaanites. Because of their many abominations and repulsive behaviors, Hashem prevented from them the ability to do tshuva, to the point that they waged battle against the Jewish people, which was senseless and irrational. Shenemar, the pasuk says in Yehoshua, Yud Aleph, Kim Eis Hashem Hoysel Chazik Es Libam Lekras HaMolcham Es Yisrael Leman Achrimam. It was Hashem who caused their hearts to become so stubborn, to prepare them for a war against the Jewish people in order to destroy them. He did not want they should be able to do tshuva. This itself was the punishment of how he exacted payment from their sins to be destroyed through the war, even though that war did not make sense. Why? Because Hashem hardened their heart. V'chein, another story that reflects this principle, happened b'Yisrael b'mei Eliyahu, the Jewish people in the times of Eliyahu Anavi. Many of the Jews were entrenched in the horrific pagan idol called the Baal. L'fi shehir b'lif shaya, because they have transgressed so profoundly with idolatry, mon amei oisan hamarbim tshuva. Hashem prevented from those who were the real great and heinous transgressors the path of tshuva. Shenemar, pasuk says in Melachim Aleph Perik Yudches, Eliyahu Hanavi speaks to Hashem and he says, "Va'ata hasei boises libam achayranis." You turned their hearts backwards. Kiloimar, manato mehem tshuva. You are the ones who turned their heart backwards and took from them away. You prevented from them the path of tshuva. Here again, it seems like Hashem has taken away from some people free choice. So here we see how the Rambam brings story after story, pasuk after pasuk, which apparently undermines the principle of free choice and explains it based on the context and the introduction that sometimes Hashem punishes the greatest sinners by depriving them from the opportunity of sobriety and tshuva. Nimtza Saimer. In conclusion, we learn she'ein akel gazer al parei lahara liyisrael. Hashem did not decree on parei to oppress and torture the Jews. V'loy al sichon lachte ba'artzai. Nor did he decree on Sichain to sin in his own country. V'loy al ha'knanim lahativ. Nor did he decree on the Knanim to engage in abominations and grotesque behavior. V'loy al yisrael avad avay dezorah. Nor did he decree upon the Jewish people to engage in idolatry. Elakulon chotu me'atzman. All of them sinned on their own. This was an independent choice that they did consciously and willfully. And they all became liable that the tshuva should be prevented from them. And obviously, a very contemporary and tragic and classic example for this would be the paths of many addicts. I begin an addiction, and then at some point I have no choices anymore. I am so overtaken by the disease, my brain is fried. There's no thought process, there's no reckoning, there's no calculation of long-term goals, ambitions. I can't even recognize myself. I am just a junkie. And you look at people and you ask yourself, can they do tshuva at this point? And they may not be able to do tshuva at this point. They may have started off doing things based on their choice, but at some point they destroy their very abilities to be independent people, to be autonomous people. And at this point, they may not have bchira. Sometimes it takes the worst of the worst. They have to hit rock bottom. They have to destroy everything that they can actually sober up to any form of reality and can begin the path of recovery. We see this today also in the amazing developments in neuroscience, in the relationship between the amygdala part of the brain and the limbic system and the prefrontal cortex. The amygdala is the part that sensitizes us to danger. The limbic system, or the emotional brain, as it's called, is that part which is responsible for many of our emotions. The prefrontal cortex is that part of the brain that can make long-term decisions, that can evaluate things dispassionately in an objective way, see the pros and see the cons, and weigh the pros against the cons and make decisions based on those perspectives. And it's in the interconnectedness of these parts of the brain where human freedom is won or lost, because as we perform behaviors, neural pathways are created. And these neural pathways are like little tiny highways that connect different parts of the brain. And when I repeat the behavior again and again and again and again, these neural pathways become so powerful and consolidated. Literally, myelin is wrapped around these neural pathways. And therefore, the next time, my rapid and instinctive response will follow those same neural pathways that have developed from my previous behaviors. So now we can understand what happened to Parah. When I engage in a certain behavior by choice, again and again and again and again and again and again, those are my exclusive neural pathways. I really don't have any other options at some point. In other words, my bchira is taken away. I had bchira, but now at this point, I don't have any bchira. My brain can't even see another perspective. My brain can't respond in any other way. This is the only response I know. Freedom is a muscle. You have to exercise it. You lose it, you use it, or you lose it. The more I use the muscle of freedom, the more I become free. The less I use the muscle of freedom, the less I am free. Halacha dalet. It's this thing, this theme, that the prophets and the tzaddikim ask of Hashem in their davening to help them see the path of truth, to be able to see the truth around them and the truth inside of them. David HaMelech says in Tehillim Peivav, Hayreini Hashem Darkecha, Ahalich Ba'amitecha, Yachid Avavid Yidur Shmecha, Hashem, show me your path. Let me walk with your truth. Kiloimar, Al Yimnu'uni Chatoi Derecha Emes, Shemimena Eida Darkecha V'yichud Shmecha. Let my sins not prevent me from seeing the path of truth from which I will be able to become aware of your path. I'll be able to become aware of your unity, of your oneness. What happens through intense sin and corruption is the person is not sober anymore. I don't know what truth is anymore. I don't know what reality is. I don't know that there's something even called truth, that there's something called a life of oneness, a life of yichud shmecha, a life of harmony, a life of synchronization, a life of alignment. I don't even know it exists. How can I make choices? V'chein zeh she'amar. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Kapitel Nun Aleph. This is following the sin with Bathsheba. I'm not saying, Chmizmel HaDavid, B'vayel of Nosin HaNavi, Kasher Bo'a Bathsheba. David HaMelech says, V'ruach nediva sismecheini. Let please support the generous spirit. What does this mean? Kiloimar, taniach ruchi lasis cheftza. Allow my spirit, allow my soul to fulfill her truest desires. Val yigrimuli chatoye limaneini hatshuva. Don't allow my sins to cause me to lack my life, to lack. Let my sins not cause me to prevent me from tshuva. Let the choice always remain mine, so that I should be able to return and understand and become aware of the path of truth. The Rambam here is describing what the Nevi'im and what the Tzaddikim like David HaMelech are asking for. David HaMelech, perhaps, after what he did with Bathsheba, he felt maybe, you know what the consequence of his actions will become? Will be? The consequence of his actions will be that he will sin more and more and more. In other words, he will go into denial, just like Paroi. And that's sometimes worse than the sin itself, because the sin itself, I could do tshuva. But denial, how do I do tshuva on it? I'm in denial. In other words, David HaMelech was frightened that perhaps as a result of his sins, he would become addicted. He would become so entrenched that he wouldn't know right from wrong anymore. He wouldn't know reality anymore. He wouldn't even know his own desires. He wouldn't even know what his soul looks like. He would not know his values, his priorities. So he begs Hashem, V'ruach nedivas esmecheini. Allow my soul to remain in tune with who it really is, with its true desires, so I should be able to see who I am and what reality is, and then I could make choices. And this is the theme of many other verses in Tanakh that reflect these same types of requests. And it may be that the Rambam is also intimating here that even when somebody did a lot of wrong things, even when somebody is afraid that I am an addict, when a person has the courage to be able to daven, what is davening? Davening is, I'm not free yet, but I'm vulnerable and I strip myself from all my layers and I beg Hashem, I say, please, heal me from this trauma. Get me out of this addiction. Get me out of this blindness. Get me out of this bias. Allow me to be a liberated person. Allow me to be able to see who I am and to see what truth is. This, perhaps, can break even this type of decree where tshuva is taken away from a person. Maybe it's because tefillah allows you to recreate yourself as a new person, as a new reality, like a new child in the bosom of God. What is it then that David HaMelech says in Tehillim Kapitel Chafei? God is good and righteous, and therefore he guides the sinners along the right path. He also says in the same Kapitel, the next Pasuk, Hashem will lead the humble ones through justice, and he will teach the humble ones his path. Doesn't this sound like, once again, Hashem is the one who's taking people by their hand and leading them down this path of justice and righteousness? Says the Rambam, what it means is, Zeh she'shalach lehem neviim, moidiim darchi Hashem machzir noisa b'tshuva. This refers to the fact that Hashem has sent prophets, messengers, divine agents to the Jewish people. People, prophets, who teach them the ways of Hashem and therefore can motivate them and inspire them to do tshuva, but they have to do it willingly. But there are people who can guide them. Va'oid, it also means something else. Hashem is the one who has imbued them with the capacity to learn, to understand, to be curious, to be perceptive, to ask questions, to expand their horizons. Shemidizu b'chol adam. Because here is the rule, here is the truth about every person. When a person follows the paths of wisdom and righteousness, which means when a person learns and learns more and learns more, what happens? The person develops an appetite, a craving, a yearning, and I will pursue them. This is the gift that Hashem gave a person. Free choice he does not take away. But he sends Nevi'im. He sends great teachers. And he also gives me the capacity to learn, the capacity to understand, the capacity to perceive, the capacity to learn more. And the Rambam says, because if you remain in the world of learning, what happens? Your appetites develop. Your horizons expand. Your Weltanschauung becomes broader. You become alerted to reality. And then you can yearn for the right things and start chasing them, start pursuing them. This is what the Chachamim said. Somebody who comes to be cleansed, Hashem helps him. You come to be cleansed and you will find assistance. Asks the Rambam, the Torah says in Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem makes a covenant with Avraham Avinu and he says, Va'avodim v'inu oisam, one day your children are going to be foreigners in another country. And the people there will subjugate them and oppress them. Hare gozar ala mitzrim lasis ra. Here Hashem imposed a decree upon the Egyptians to oppress the Jewish people. Where's the free choice? You keep on insisting and maintaining that people have choice. Hashem made a decree. He said, I know and I'm telling you that the Jews are going to end up in a foreign country and they are going to be oppressed by people there. This is not like the question the Rambam asked in Perek Hey, that Hashem knows the future. And he said, his knowledge of my choices tomorrow, don't undermine my choice. Fine. But here's something else. Gozar, he made a gzeira. This is a forced decree. It has to happen. So what do you want from the Mitzrayim? V'kasuf, another example. At the end of Moshe's life, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, after you pass away, this nation is going to rise and they are going to go astray after the pagan, alien gods of the land of Canaan. Hashem decreed on the Jewish people to engage in idolatry. Why is he exacting retribution from them? Here too, we have psukim that seem to undermine the principle of bchira, because the Ribbono Shel Olam decreed these things to happen. He decreed the mitzvah. He decreed on the mitzvah to oppress the Jewish people. Did they have a choice? Hashem said, "This is how it's going to be. This is what's going to happen." Answers the Rambam, and again, I want to explain the point. In Perikei, he was talking about yediyah. Here he's talking about gzeira. Two very different points. In Perikei, he said Hashem's knowledge of the future does not contradict our free choice. But Hashem's decree for the future, that certainly contradicts free choice. In other words, if Hashem made a gzeira, if he decreed that tomorrow I should do this or I should not do this, so that means I don't have free choice. It means he decided for me. That's what a gzeira means. If you're saying Hashem allowed the Egyptians to oppress the Jewish people, that's something else. He gave me free choice. That's true. But that's not what a gzeira means. A gzeira means Hashem decreed. Like when a king makes a decree and the decree must be implemented. With a human king, it may not be implemented. Gzeira avida de batla. Hashem makes a gzeira, that means it has to happen. This is what a decree means. It doesn't mean he said the Egyptians have the freedom to oppress the Jewish people. They may also not. That's not what he said. He said, this is what's going to happen. In other words, he made a gzeira. If it's a gzeira, that means there's no choice. And says the Rambam, Lefi shalei gozer al ish ploini hayadua sheyehu azayna. Hashem did not decree upon a specific individual that he must follow avodah zarah. Ela kol echad ve'echad me'oisin hazaynim shavda avodah zarah ilu le'ratza lavid lo haya oved. Every one of those Jews who fell prey to idolatry was doing it based on his choice. If he would not want to, he did not have to do it. The Creator was telling Moshe Rabbeinu what is going to happen. He was telling him the pattern of the world, that the Jewish people are going to engage in avodah zarah. This was not a decree on any individual. I'll give you an example. If somebody says, this population, this nation, will have some tzaddikim and some rishayim, some righteous people and some troublemakers. Nobody's going to say, lo mipnei zeh yomer ha-rasha. Nobody is going to say, ooh, because of this, the rasha could say, kfar nikilov shiyer rasha, b'nei sheyidei ha-kadosh baruch hu l'moshe, shiyer rishayim b'Yisrael. I had no choice. I had to be a rasha because Hashem already told Moshe Rabbeinu that there are going to be rishayim among the Jewish people. So when you're creating a country and you create a system of justice, because you know there are going to be people who are going to break the law, so it's great, a great defense in court. One second. You created a court system because you knew there's going to be criminals, right? That's why you created a criminal court system. So that means you knew it's going to happen. If you knew it's going to happen, okay, so somebody got to do it. So I was the carbon. What do you want from me? The Ribbono Shel Olam told Moshe Rabbeinu, Jews are going to do Avodah Zarah. Okay, so I'm the guy. What do you want from me? If I wouldn't do it, and he wouldn't do it, and he wouldn't do it, and he wouldn't do it, then God's decree would never happen. So the Rambam says that doesn't work that way. The Rasha can't say that he is forced to be a Rasha because Hashem said it's going to happen. Kinyan Shanem, I'll give you another example. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people in Dvarim, Perek Tesvav, Parshas Re'ei, Ki lo yechdal evyod mikerev ha'aretz. Poor people will not seize from amidst the world, from amidst your land. In other words, there are always going to be poor people, and therefore al kein ani mitzavchen, therefore I'm commanding everybody to give tzedakah. So now I want to ask you a question. Does this mean that you are forced to be the poor person? You are forced to be the poor person. And when somebody says, here, I have a good job for you, you say, no, sorry, God forced me to be poor. You know why? Because he said there will always be poor people. Now, if all of you are going to be rich, what's going to happen with Hashem's decree? I have to be poor. Well, it's nonsense. It's ludicrous. Go make money and give a lot of tzedakah. Hashem said there will be poor people. Hashem said there will be poor people, but it doesn't mean you have to be poor. With the Egyptians is exactly the same story. Each one of those who oppressed and tortured and persecuted the Jewish people, if he did not want to oppress these innocent Jews, he had the full power to refrain from these heinous crimes. Hashem did not impose his decree on any specific known individual. He notified Avraham Avinu that his descendants are going to be subjugated in an alien country. Individually, everyone had to make the choice. And therefore, when an Egyptian said, I was just following God's decree to Avraham Avinu, this does not work. You had Bechira. It reminds me, during the Eichmann trial, Adolf Eichmann, Yamach Shemoy, in 1961, was brought to Israel from Argentina, and he was tried, and this really brought the Holocaust to the consciousness of millions and millions of Jews in Israel and abroad in the world. All the testimony of the Holocaust survivors, which most people did not know about. They didn't know, certainly, with a lot of the gory and intricate details. And what was Eichmann's defense? Eichmann's defense was, I was a soldier. I was a loyal soldier serving my country. I had to follow orders. What do you want from me? You know, I was a good guy. I was doing a mitzvah. You know, the mitzvah says, what do you want? I wasn't only following Pari's orders. I was following God's orders. Hashem told Avraham Avinu, somebody got to subjugate them. Rambam says, nobody asked you to subjugate them. You did it because you chose to persecute, to torture free, innocent people. And therefore, you deserve retribution. Now you'll ask the last question. Okay, Hashem didn't decree upon me to persecute you, but he certainly knew I would do it. And we already explained that the human brain does not have the capacity to know how Hashem knows things that are going to happen in the future without it taking away from people their authentic ability to make free choices. That's true. We already said that's not something that human intellect can wrap its brain around. So did Hashem know about every Egyptian who tortured Jews? Yes, he knew about it. Did he know about it before it happened? He knew about it before it happened. So they don't have free choice because his knowledge must be authentic. And if his knowledge is authentic, they couldn't have defied that knowledge. And if they could have defied that knowledge, then it means God is not omniscient. The Rambam says that we already discussed in Perek Hey about the limitations of the human brain. Here we addressed Gzeira, his decreeing, his forcing you to do it. He never forced any Egyptian to do it. When he made a Gzeira for Galus Mitzrayim, he was not forcing an Egyptian to do it.